You're listening to Coach Talk, a podcast about coaching for improvement in health and social care. Here you will meet several international experts and coaches to discuss challenges, opportunities, models and tools that might be useful when you coach others to make improvements.
So hello everybody, and here in the studio this time I have Alice Kennedy from Dartmouth. And Alice is very interested in co-production. So this topic of this coach pod will be co-production and how to bring it to the next level. And my name is Nicolien Wakkerberg and I'm development leader at Culturum. So very welcome, Alice.
Thank you, Nicolien. My name is Alice Kennedy. I am a research project manager at the Dartmouth Institute in the United States. And I am a part-time PhD student at Jönköping University.
Yes, and you are very interested in co-production. Why is that?
Yes, my interest in co-production began in 2018 when I was working in spinal cord injury care research. And I heard a professor from the Dartmouth Institute named Stephen Bartels come and speak at the University of Louisville School of Medicine about co-producing care for persons with serious mental illness. And at that time, I was very curious about the US healthcare system and how patient needs and patient lives, their well-being and quality of life, seemed to be getting lost in the healthcare system. And when I heard Dr. Bartel speaking, I was inspired that there was a new to me way of designing healthcare services that not only focused on centering the patient in the system, but the patient was the creator of the system. And so the patient-provider partnership for co-production being the center of the co-production learning health system was something that I wanted to learn more about and see if I could contribute to spreading this possible way forward for healthcare system design.
So you have been looking at it for a couple of years now? And was it easy?
No.
No, I think the same, I think a lot of people will say that. No, it's not easy. Yeah. So tell me.
Yeah, so when I came to Dartmouth, and still currently, I work with an inflammatory bowel disease collaborative called IBD Chorus. IBD Chorus is a group of gastroenterologists across the US who are committed to improving the quality of care for people living with inflammatory bowel disease. They are using a co-production learning health system model.
Can you explain me a little bit, what is that kind of model?
Yes, a learning health system is a way of designing a health system that was put forth by the Institute of Medicine in the US in 2007. And it focuses on taking learnings from each individual patient, gathering those learnings, and feeding them in a continuous loop through the healthcare system. So the healthcare system is continuously learning from the new knowledge that it is creating with every patient visit. And I think co-production, the model for co-production, fits perfectly within this learning health system design, because the new knowledge at its heart is generated from the clinical moment between the patient and the provider. The provider is learning from the patient is learning from the provider, and they are the two experts in the room generating new knowledge from the clinical expert and from the lived experience expert.
Yes. And you were talking about that it was not an easy road.
It is not easy. I think I am exploring co-production in healthcare as well as co-production in research as I move through my PhD studies. Mm. And one of the criticisms of co-production is that it takes time. Mm. It takes time. And that has been my experience. And that has been my experience of fostering co-production in the patient visit. You hear from clinicians that we don't have time. And so I think the key to moving co-production forward and disseminating this model will be finding ways to make it efficient, but more than that, making space that this critical value and knowledge creation moment deserves. So I am torn, and I'm learning more about whether we need to speed co-production up or if we just need to make more space for it.
Mm. I'm thinking if you say it takes time, I'm also thinking if you don't co-produce, you maybe make wrong decisions. And it will cost you time, because then you do wrong things and then you have to do them over again. So the argument about it takes time, there is another opposite side. If you don't do it, you can do the wrong thing. How do you think about that?
I think that is, I agree with that perspective. Mm. I think creating that evidence, almost having a control group and to show that co-production does save time in over the long term will be important.
Mm. So there is no evidence today, you think, or I'm not sure about it?
I am not sure. I think that there is a lot of evidence around shared decision making.
Yes.
But I think that the principles of co-production is a little bit, think of co-production as an umbrella term, mm-hmm. and shared decision making is one part. Mm-hmm. I think we do need to continue writing and researching and exploring co-production.
Yes. Yes. Okay. This pod is a coach pod. So these are the listeners are coaches who are trying to promote co-production. Maybe, I don't know. So what kind of tips would you give coaches to do more and maybe better co-production or whatever? What do you say to the coaches?
I work with clinical teams in quality improvement. Mm-hmm. So small teams, and I would say one of the greatest lessons that I've learned is the first time that you suggest something, it doesn't always resonate. It may not be the right time, and you may not have the optimal people in the room for that moment, but that doesn't mean that the idea has died on the vine, as they say. You can always revisit ideas down the road, and it may be the right time for them then.
So you were saying don't give up.
Don't give up.
Even when the first time it's maybe not the right time.
Absolutely.
But you were still keen on that co-production is very important.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do you have any other tips how you could introduce co-production as a coach to a team that's quite new in this idea?
I have found that healthcare providers are very excited about connecting with their patients.
Yes.
And thinking about the reasons why they went into healthcare in the first place. Co-production can create a lot of joy in work, and it can help clinical teams reconnect to why they started practicing in the first place. And I think if you can tap into that through storytelling or through patients who have experience with co-production, if you can pull their stories into your coaching work, I think that could be helpful.
Mm-hmm. So it's in a way back to basic. But you also said the co-production model. Mm-hmm. Can you explain very shortly what is the co-production model for you?
I think the co-production model is the understanding that there are two experts in the room when the healthcare service is created.
Yes.
The lived experience expert and the clinical expert. Understanding that there's just as much to be learned from each expert. I think that is the model for co-production.
Mm-hmm. So as a coach or professional or whatever, you have to acknowledge that, and then it's just going by themselves, or do you need some other skills?
I think for both patients and providers, it is very challenging to come to that first understanding. The patient doesn't always feel on the same level as the provider, even though they are. And the provider doesn't always feel on the same level as the patient, even though they are. So I think getting to that first understanding can be very challenging. I think that's one of the ideas that you need to kind of keep revisiting, because I think over time it will resonate more.
So getting to that understanding, and you said it's maybe the narrative of the patient that can help you to that understanding. Mm-hmm. Are there any other things that can help you to that understanding?
So with IBD Chorus, we introduced a question into our pre-visit planning survey that asked the patient, what is your number one concern or goal? And it was free text. It wasn't a drop down or anything. And I think that when clinicians first see that question, some of them were thinking, oh, I know my patient. I know what they're worried about. I know what their concerns are. And then sometimes when they actually read what the patient wrote, they realize I didn't know as much as I thought I did. I think that can be a humbling moment. And so I think that has been very helpful in illustrating the value of the patient perspective in the visit.
Oh, it's nice that you said that you could send out a survey with some questions, because a lot of people say, no, you have to talk to patients. You really have to find that relationship. Otherwise, it's not really co-production. But you say, no, you can have a free text with just a very clever question. So maybe the coaches can start there. It can be an easy way to start.
Yeah.
And follow up the questions in another way.
Yeah.
Still exploring. We have talking about the narrative. Now we have talking about a survey. Are there any other ways how we can coach and stimulate co-production?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
No, that is possible. I'm just thinking about sometimes it also helps, I think, to go in the shoes of the patient.
Mm-hmm.
So ask a patient, is it okay if I go one day or a couple of hours to see how healthcare is working for you, and just experiencing the day of a patient, and then discussing with the patient what did you feel now, or how is it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are a lot of other ways, and this is one other way as well.
Absolutely.
to go in the shoes of a patient to build this understanding you are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
How could you understand that the patient is really the expert of their own lives, and
mm-hmm.
you cannot understand it if you are not a part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
But then everybody will say, oh, that takes time. Yes, That takes time, and I don't think you can do that with every patient, but sometimes also to keep yourself aware that you are not starting to do things like a robot, because you have to be aware of it. So say now we go to the next level, that we are all aware that co-production is important, and we have done something to open up and to listen. So what's then the next step? How are we going to co-produce improvements in health and social care? Do you have any idea of that?
Yeah. I think it's really exciting once you start to touch the minds and the hearts of the, you know, patients and families and clinicians and care team members, and they're excited about the concept of co-production. And then you can start to do a lot of exciting things. And you could start by embedding a lived experience expert on your quality improvement team. Invite them to look at your data with you and decide where the improvements need to be made.
Have you done that?
We have encouraged teams. I think that one of the challenges is that clinical teams can be nervous to invite a patient into, I guess you would say, behind the curtain.
Yeah, okay. And how did you cope with that nervousness? How can you overcome that?
You can start small.
Like?
Start with low what the team perceives as low risk quality improvement projects. For example, a patient can lead a quality improvement project just by doing a process map of from when they come to their appointment, when they walk in the door, all the way through the patient experience until they leave.
Yeah.
And you can look, the quality improvement team can look together with the patient at that process map and ask the patient, where are the areas for improvement? How can we map out the tests of change that we would like to try?
Okay, now a very stupid question of me, but are you just saying to a patient, can you give me a process map? How are you doing that?
Yeah, so you would, a quality improvement team might have to already exist at the clinical site. And then there would be some education for the patient partner about what quality improvement is and what it isn't. And then the clinicians and care team, the quality improvement team, would need some education about how do you thoughtfully and respectfully engage a patient partner on your quality improvement team. And there are, we've actually worked at Dartmouth to develop a quality improvement curriculum that has lessons on those steps. Specifically for clinicians, how do you partner with a patient or lived experience expert? And there's a lesson for patients on how do you partner with your clinical staff quality improvement team.
Could you give me an example what the patient should educate in, or what the patient should get for advice?
I think I would advise to the clinical team to involve more than one patient at a time.
Yeah.
Because there are power dynamics at play.
Yeah.
And that can help them feel more on a level playing field.
Yeah.
And then also, I think that
the advice of the patient, what kind of advice should you give the patient?
Yeah, I think just encouraging them that their input is extremely important. I think sometimes patients don't feel that way.
Yeah.
And I think it is really critically important to just repeat that over and over.
Yeah, I agree. We are soon going to the end, but just some more input. I know you are making a key driver diagram about co-production. Could you explain a little bit what is a key driver's diagram about co-production?
So a key driver diagram is a way to illustrate your theory of change. So a key driver diagram starts with a SMART aim, and then you build out the biggest factors that you think will influence the success or failure of this SMART aim. And then you go down to secondary drivers, which are the smaller factors closer to your microsystem that would affect this aim. And then for each of those secondary drivers, you brainstorm change ideas that you could test to see if you could move these ideas forward. And so what we're going to do is we're going to invite everyone to think about how much or how little they currently are co-producing with their patients and think about where they would like to be and set a SMART aim surrounding that, and then build out a co-created key driver diagram to how you could really move co-production to the next level in your environment. And then I think the most exciting part, brainstorming some change ideas together that you can move into action when you go back to your context and start testing.
And you are going to do this in the next week, I think.
Yes, next week.
And in the room, you also have patients in the room.
That would be wonderful.
I know you have. So maybe that's also a good idea for the coaches, just starting to make your own key drivers diagram.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Alice, for being here, and good luck next week. And we hope that we can read something about it, how it went and so on. Thank you so much.
This podcast is made by Culturum Design and Learning Center in Sweden.